the Rick Emerson radio program.
Bad day for drivers in Portland.
Bad day for everybody. Apparently, we're all going to die from several things. Chunks of falling concrete.
Throwing spinach off the Markham Bridge.
And so forth. All right. Well, in any event, we got more updates on the traffic, the whole cluster thing happening, which is on the Markham Bridge. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Phone calls to get you later on. Scott Daly from FilmFeverRadio.com, etc. Ladies and gentlemen, please make way for Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
A big cement pipe brings traffic to a standstill. An accident involving a large cement pipe shut down the southbound lanes of the lower deck of the Markham Bridge early this morning. It is still closed. It damaged both the bridge and cars parked below in the OMSI parking lot. There is no estimated reopening time for the southbound lanes. Northbound traffic is moving slowly.
And that's how you know it's bad, when they won't even lie to you and tell you that they expect it to be cleaned up shortly or within just a couple of hours. When they won't even give you an estimate, you know it's a bad scene.
Now, this pipe blew off a truck and slammed into the left side of the bridge wall, tearing off chunks of the wall, sending them careening below into the OMSI parking lot.
We know that, by the way, because there was just a guy in KGW holding up a piece of concrete.
He's doing the size of a football.
Totally, doing that thing.
Now, we don't know if he put it back or took it back to the studio with him.
He's doing that thing that they do with the snow. As you can see, the snow is
quite cold. He was pretty funny, though. As far as reporters go, that was pretty funny.
No, he was pretty. I don't even know who that was, but he was pretty amusing.
They all look about the same.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's unknown if the reporter put down this football-sized chunk of concrete or took it home with him.
It'd kill you dead. It really would. And again, we were talking about, because of course all these things are really only important in as much as they relate to me.
Yes.
That is right over the OMSI parking lot. It's not just me. That's where if you have to bicycle.
That's where I bike through every day.
Do you bike the same path past OMSI?
Yep.
Yeah. If you're biking.
You're no longer safe.
From the other side of the river to here, yeah, you've got to go right past that. And I mean, apparently I think I would have been safe because this happened at like 10 something, between 9 and 10. But man, it's a bad scene. There's all kinds of cars down there.
That's when I bike.
8 to 10 cars down. Damage.
Sarah be dead. Dead, dead, dead.
Children traumatized.
It's true.
A train is being used to clean up.
Yeah. Man, we're never going to get... Well, you'll get home because you're on the bus. Because it's noon now. So if this is a few hours from now and they still
have it
closed.
But there's a diesel spill there, too, also.
Oh, great. Oh, that's fantastic.
So why not?
Great. So I'm just camping here. I'm sleeping at the office tonight. Great.
Meanwhile, two people trapped inside a smashed car that launched off an embankment and flipped over during a high-speed chase in Gladstone early this morning. It began with a domestic disturbance call.
Of course.
Officers responded to a 911 call and to the Tri-City Mobile Home Park. They wanted to question Jody James and Michael Kidman, but the pair took off in their Subaru Legacy. The chase reached speeds up to 60 miles an hour before it flipped over.
Excellent.
It fell some 60 feet at the base of an old railroad bridge in the Clackamas River, a picturesque location.
Excellent.
The car rolled on top upside down in the river, and both the people were pinned inside, and they were taken to OHSU and listed in fair condition.
All right. Hey, by the way, has anybody been following the unfolding of this story with the strangling? The hammer strangling or whatever it was.
I saw there was a new report.
Okay, the case now has an exciting new direction. Wait, let me find the, Where is it? And this was sent to us by many people. And here's why this is great. Because this story, the nurse who strangled the intruder with whatever. Now, you remember, we talked about this when it happened, and then Dan DeRose, were you here? I don't think you were.
No, that was when Dan was filling in.
Was the only day off I've ever taken off.
And we know. Well, I'm just noting.
And it was for nothing fun. Come on.
And the dishwasher never even.
He wasn't out gallivanting.
No. The dishwasher had already been repaired last year, but nobody ever entered the repair into the computer.
But we said at the time that there was more to it because the original story we heard was the guy breaks in. Mm-hmm. To do some raping or whatever, and then the woman just kills him with a hammer. And as soon as we heard it, we said that it was not necessarily crap, but that there was probably more to it. So I've got the latest version. This is true. This is from KGW. And it is fantastic because it does involve a porn store janitor. Not like from the band, but like an actual porn store janitor. The estranged husband of a woman who strangled an intruder with her bare hands last week.
He's like 5 feet tall and 300 pounds.
Has been accused of hiring the intruder as part of a murder plot. So apparently the guy was a hitman sent to kill the woman by the ex-husband. The ex-husband's all kinds of scary looking, by the way. Michael James Kuhnhausen was charged Thursday with criminal conspiracy. Detective said, now how creepy is this? This is the ex-husband of the woman who did the killing. Mm-hmm. Detective said he helped disable the security alarm at his wife's home on September 6th and then let Edward Haffey inside. Haffey, armed with a claw hammer, then waited for Susan Kuhnhausen to arrive home from her nursing job. So that's creepy on creepy. So the ex-husband turns off the security alarm. He's like, here, I'll let you in the back door. Would you like a martini? Anything? Something to relax you? Bread? You know, whatever. Here's a claw hammer. Haffey struck her several times in the head with the claw hammer. But she managed to take the hammer away, according to a court affidavit, and then wrestled with him. The intruder bit her several times, and she bit back.
Yeah.
Finally, the 51-year-old woman was able to get on top of Haffey, place him in a chokehold, and then it says this is how they phrase it. She eventually choked the life out of him. Police found the 59-year-old guy dead on the hallway floor. Good for her. Now, but I have heard from someone else. Our good friend Steve and Kathy emailed us and said that they heard somewhere that she, in fact, strangled him with a pair of nylons, not her bare hands, which makes it even sexier. Let's see. Blah, 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 husband, yada, yada, yada. Pardon me.
It's a sexy 300-pound woman choking with a pair of nylons.
Is she a 300-pound woman?
Close to it, I would imagine.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, wasn't she husky?
I don't know.
I thought in the report.
There was a mortal love woman.
She was a
mortal
Porklander. Let's see. Anyway, and then the best part is they found a note like inside the guy's bag, like call Mike, get letter, kill woman, or something like things to do: get milk, kill housewife, pick up laundry.
So please give a happy ending. Did they erase
the ending is the guy's dead and the husband's arrested. Detective Chess actually checked his background, discovered lengthy prison terms. They also learned he's worked at a custodian for fantasy adult video.
Sorry, Autumn.
So there you go. Anyway, so a porn star janitor, now dead. Good times. And anywho. Oh, I got all these calls. I should probably get some of these. Let's see. This is, this is our good friend Dante the cab driver. What's up, brother?
Hey, Rick, I'm out here on the interstate, the 205, and as you can hear behind me, the semi-truck has appeared to have high-centered on the Jersey barrier. Traffic is at a standstill. And it's backed all the way up to the 205 southbound. So avoid this area if at all possible. And if you can't, plan for a long wait. Back to you, Rick.
Are you auditioning for Jenny Hogan's job? Is that the thing here?
No. Jenny Hogan can have her job.
Here's what you need to...
As a matter of fact, I just drove a lady out to the airport who was a speech pathologist. And she said that it's a Jimmy Jam Jam out here.
Okay. Somebody's already made that joke. Here's what you need to do. You need to practice this. Whenever I throw it to you like this or you give the traffic report, you got to start it with a little laugh. Even if I've said... even if I've said nothing funny. So it's sort of like a blah, 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 blah. Here's Dante with traffic. Go, okay, Rick. Well, we're taking right there. Just like a finishing of the laugh.
Yeah, apparently there's a lot of ODOT stuff that's going on out here. Or as we like to call it, NAMBLA. Now back to you, Rick. Rick.
Hello? No, it's
what?
No, hello. No, he played along at the end. He said what? And he's gone. That's too bad. Let's see. Paul, you have info about this pipe that fell off the truck?
Yeah, I do, Rick.
Okay.
The pipe was laying on its side on the truck.
Right, because it was long. I mean,
they strap it down, don't they?
I mean, it sounds dumb, but I mean, do we know how big the pipe is? I mean,
it was 12 foot in diameter.
12 feet in, now wait, is diameter across?
Yeah, completely across.
Okay, so that's
would be half.
12 feet across, so that's huge. That's gigantic.
Yeah,
that's got to be like a 36 foot circumference.
About 20 some odd feet long. It weighed close to 30 tons.
Oh.
Is it metal?
No, concrete.
It was a concrete pipe.
So was it just not properly strapped to the truck? Is that what happened?
No, it was properly strapped.
It
was chained down.
But I mean, what happened then?
The truck wrecked.
Oh, so the truck
is destroyed.
So the truck crashed And then, because I think it's all...
Chain broke, pipe got loose.
And we've learned that we can't ask physics questions to Tim because his head starts to bleed.
Yes.
But that is, it does seem to me like those chains, I mean, that's all about, how do I put this? Those chains only work to hold that stuff on the truck at certain angles. In other words, under certain circumstances. So if that load gets shifted wrong, it puts pressure on the chains in a way that they were not meant to withstand.
Well, possibly, yes. The chains used to transport, since I do it for a living, are made to withstand so much tensile strength.
Right.
And if you exceed that, as soon as one pops, the rest of them, it's kind of like a domino effect.
Well, yeah, because by definition, every time one pops, it puts exponentially more pressure on the other ones. Yeah.
Yeah, and when you jerk the chain, in other words, the truck wrecked,
right,
load shifted, slapped the chains tight, that's when the mayhem started, probably. Right.
So this is, I mean, how do they even pick something like this up to put it on another truck to get it out, or do they have to cut it into sections?
No, they'll just bring a crane in and pick it up.
How could you get a crane? Well, I guess you could drive a crane up there.
It depends if they can get the boom of the crane high enough to lift it.
Yeah. And so
they'll have to bring in what's called a drop deck trailer, because that's what it was on.
Right,
meaning
right.
That when it comes off the back of the semi, it goes back down to the ground.
All right. So stay away from that bridge. All right.
Yeah.
How long would you take, in your estimation, how long would it take to get in there and pick up one of these pipes and refasten it and get it out of there?
If they can get the crane in and the truck there, and the pipe isn't cracked so it doesn't fall apart when they lift it, sometime tonight.
6:45.
Jesus Christ.
Okay. And if you just follow Tim home to St. John's and cut back on the surface streets, you'll be okay.
Tim, can I sleep on your floor?
Right.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I'll appreciate. Think about that.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, what are you going to do?
I feel bad for Squid. He just wrote me, and he's stuck right under... Because, remember, Entercom is right next to the Markham Bridge.
Oh.
He's stuck at work.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Stuck at Entercom. It's 503, as are many people, 503-733.
Not that many. Bada bing.
Fewer every day, I guess. 503-733-2970. If you are, by the way, if you are there, if you're on the Markham Bridge... Because I guess, is there anybody stuck on the bridge? I guess not. I guess the bridge is probably empty at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's nobody probably stuck up there. But if you're stuck in traffic, if you can kind of see it, if you are, because we're shameless panderers, if you can see the pipe laying there, call in and describe what the pipe looks like. And then if you can hold a chunk up to the phone, that'd be great, too. Here's Tim Riley.
Eat spinach and die. Health officials urge you not to eat any bag fresh spinach because of a possible link to an outbreak of E. coli.
Too late.
The Secretary of Spinach, Cal Dooley, says...
Is there a Secretary of Spinach?
Of course there is.
Okay.
He says more needs to be done before we know what happened to the spinach.
We need to get some more evidence on that so that we can, as an entire supply chain, from the farmer to the processor to the retailer, understand where we have to do more to eliminate this threat.
And somebody in Salem... got this E. coli, and her doctor cried and said, there's nothing I can do for you.
Wait, we were just on KGW, they were interviewing a victim, and I don't mean to make light in any way, but it really does show you the limits of modern medicine that you sort of think is, you know, the cure all for everything. And she went and said, I've got E. coli, what can I do? And apparently the doctor's response was, I can't really do anything as such. Would you like a pillow? And that was sort of, would you like a coloring book?
Cry, yeah. Let it all out.
Yeah. We do have this puffs that's infused with lotion. So there you go. So that's apparently what it is. And the best part about this, of course, is that we eat bag upon bag of that stuff in our house. So if I'm not here next week, you'll know why. So there you go. All right. Well, don't eat any spinach or anything. And E. coli, I don't mean to dwell on morbid details, but E. coli does what again? I mean, what does it do to you? Is it one of those liquefying diseases like Ebola? Where suddenly you're just you're all filled with goo?
Possibly. I'm not an expert on E. coli.
If somebody knows what E. coli does, because I thought E. coli, I get E. coli and Salmonella confused. What was the one that the Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh and his nutcase cult were trying to spread in the Dalles? That was Salmonella, I think. Where they were sneezing on the salad bar at Wendy's or something. They were just kind of going in and like right into the blue cheese. There was something like that. E. coli, isn't E. coli that thing that it was like there was some restaurant chain? What was the fast food chain that had all the E. coli a few years ago?
Oh, that was Jack in the Box.
That's right. That's right. Okay. So, and I forget what it does, but I didn't think it killed you. I thought it was just made you feel bad kind of a disease, but apparently it's the killing kind. So, all right, here's Tim Riley.
Anna Nicole Smith requesting a second autopsy on the death of her son Daniel, who died earlier this week from suspicious causes. Paul Turnquist, a reporter for the Tribune in the Bahamas, says it's not unusual to request a second autopsy.
This is cut two.
Cut two.
I have given permission yesterday to counsel for the family to have their pathologist come in. Their pathologist flies in on Saturday, and he will perform his autopsy on Sunday at 12 noon.
All right. And this is on the whatever on her kid?
Yeah.
All right. Do you have that story? Does the story have anything about her memory loss?
Let's see.
Because you've heard that, right?
Uh-huh.
Her new thing is she has amnesia. Well, she can't remember anything. It's suddenly her brain has been wiped clean.
Well, she thinks she has like post-traumatic stress,
uh-huh.
Right?
That could be.
Well, I mean, look, I don't mean to sound cynical and hard-hearted about the whole thing, but come on.
Well, you need to give her some credit. I mean, look at how spacey and gone she's been the past few years. I would believe if she just kind of spaced out, if she's drugged up or whatever.
She's probably high to begin with. I'm not saying that I know. I don't know, but I mean, would it surprise you if you heard that she was still? She's remained astoundingly thin. Let's put it that way, astoundingly thin, and she's never made a public appearance in the last 5 years where she didn't seem like she was completely whacked out of her brain on something. So, and then that kid had to have 1,000 miles of bad road. I mean, And I don't mean this to sound black or anything, but I mean that kid really, in a lot of ways, it's better just for it to be over and go to the back of the line and start it again when you're born to Anna Nicole Smith. Because I mean, you talk about a kid that just never had a chance in a normal life. I mean, he was 20 and he'd apparently already had a bunch of problems and whatever. So that whole thing, and somebody told us, was it you that said that you heard it was the lawyer, her lawyer Howard?
Yeah, Howard
Stern
was in the room.
He was in the room.
But what's weird is that. So they're saying that he had the seizure thing and started vomiting and whatnot at 9, but the doctor and the nurses didn't come until 9:38.
So it doesn't make sense.
Some Ted Kennedy thing.
Yeah, seriously, that's a whole lot of somebody's going to jail. All right, here's Tim Riley.
Urban myth. That's how the president describes criticism he hasn't done enough to locate Osama bin Laden. At a White House news conference, the president slammed those who claim he's forgotten about bin Laden.
There's a kind of an urban myth here in Washington about how this administration hasn't stayed focused on Osama bin Laden.
That
Forget it. It's convenient throwaway lines, you know, when people say that. We have been on the hunt, and we'll stay on the hunt till we bring him to justice.
The best part about the urban myth, by the way, myth being something that has no factual underpinning or basis, is that part when George Bush, behind a microphone, said, I don't really think about Osama bin Laden all that much earlier this year.
And didn't they take him off of the list of people they were hunting for?
And I don't think they're offering the $25 million anymore, but we, on this program, played George W. Bush, and somebody said, what about that guy, bin Laden? And he said, well, to tell you the truth, I don't really think about him all that much. He said it in front of a camera. We played it on this program. So that's kind of one of those butt-bob things that you think is an urban myth, and then, no, not so much.
The president explains the U.S. just can't bulldoze Pakistan if bin Laden is there without permission.
Pakistan's a sovereign nation. In order for...
Like anything like that.
I was just going to say, who wants to say, yeah, okay, yeah, because Lord knows we would never go
to a
sovereign nation. That would be wrong.
Pakistan's a sovereign nation. In order for us to send thousands of troops into a sovereign nation, we've got to be invited by the government of Pakistan.
As we were in Iraq.
Yes, exactly. Just like that invitation we got from Iraq and Afghanistan. And Panama.
Meanwhile, Iraqi forces are digging trenches around Baghdad to set up checkpoints leading into the city to try to reduce some of the violence plaguing the capital. It'll just be a big moat, and you will not be able to enter without permission.
All right. Let's get a couple of these here. Let's see. This is... Oh, we have E. coli calls. Charlie, hello.
Oh, the best. Hey!
Bush is a dildo.
Okay. Who?
Bush.
Oh,
sorry.
Okay. All right. Sorry.
Anyway, E. coli, I guess, causes bloody diarrhea and vomiting.
So it doesn't kill you?
It can kill you. Okay. I think it can severely dehydrate you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's that way.
So one person from the spinach outbreak thing died already.
It sounds like that's at least three kinds of dehydration going on at once.
Probably.
You know.
You probably just melt fluids out of all your orifices.
What a way to go.
Welcome to the lunch hour. We really ought to have a sound. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We really.
I love that lady.
We really ought to have a. She said Tilda. We really ought to have
a great kickoff line.
I thought she said Chris initially. I'm like, Chris who? We ought to have some welcome to the lunch hour sounder. Chris speaking. Chris is Chris. Hello.
Yeah, I was going to say, basic description on E. coli, 2 exits, no waiting.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
All right. That pretty much wraps it up.
There you go. What else is there to say, really? When we come back, oh, I meant to get to this, but when we come back, we'll talk to Tim. Tim, the young slip of a youth who wanted to get into radio. It says here, latest update on radio career. Also, Steakhouse Lori. That's a good thing to be known as. Large Marge. It says Ed McCarthy replacement laughter. Plus more from Tim Riley at the City Desk / Ministry of Truth. We've also got that Gary Baumgarten coming up. Later on, Scott Daly, Tom Likas, etc. It's a Rick Emerson Show on Friday. Don't go anywhere. In case you care, Dennis Kitzenbarger's baby walked yesterday, and it fell over.
After 6 steps.
After 6 steps.
That's pretty cute.
It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. We had to hustle him out of the room because, you know, he was like 5 seconds away from showing you the video on his phone. 503. Oh, we've got breastfeeding news for you today.
Oh, good.
We need to get a sound for that, too. Just a whole lot of... Oh, jinx. Yeah. 503-733-2970. Would you like to hear this email I just got? This is just, it really is just a throwaway, actually. It says, Rockstar Rick, for the love of sweet zombie Jehovah, can we quit caring about Rockstar now? Yes. Also, why is Sarah so, all caps, uptight about breastfeeding? Does she hate her body?
I don't want anything clamping onto it and, like, sucking the life out of me. Ugh.
The best part is the involuntary shudder that you
get. You know, maybe, I don't know if it's immaturity or what, but just the thought of having milk come out of my breast and have something sucking on them is the grossest thing to me. It grosses me out. I'm sorry I don't see the beauty of it. I'm uptight.
All right. I love New York City. Talking about a baby, by the way. That's what we're talking about. A medical... It's 503-733-2970. Children are from heaven. Thank you.
Can we go to Gary?
Let's welcome now Gary Baumgarten. Hello, sir. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Oh, we're okay.
Okay?
Apparently, spinach is killing everybody in the Northwest. There's a gigantic traffic accident, which means I'm going to be here till 7 o'clock.
And I'm uptight because I don't want...
Sarah is opposed to breastfeeding, and every time we come in the studio, we start to hack and cough like we're inside a coal mine in West Virginia.
Wow.
So there you go. So that's kind of where we are. How's your day going, my friend?
Pretty good. It's raining pretty hard, especially in New Jersey and now into the city, and there's some flooding.
This is the other thing, is we're here in Portland, and everybody thinks that it rains all the time in Portland, and it's not really true. It is that there is a rainy season, but in the last couple of days, you can tell that we are now entering that particular tunnel. We are now entering the season of rain here in Portland, Oregon, which means that by, I don't know, you check them, there's about a month from now, and it's going to be raining like 5 out of 7 days every week, and which is fine. I mean, I don't mind it the way that some people do. It's okay, but it's one of those things that you just sort of block out of your mind. You sort of, it's like, you know, you forget about it. It's sort of like having a drunk and abusive step-parent. You kind of, you know, things go all right for a while, and you sort of put it in the back of your mind, and then suddenly that door opens late at night, and it all comes flooding back to you. That's how the rain is. It can be nice all summer, as it has been, and then you realize that, you know, when this comes, you realize you've got like another 5 months of precipitation raining down into the sky every day. So that's kind of where we are today. But it's been one of those days. Let me ask you this thing about George Clooney. And I am not like everybody else. I do not reflexively hate celebrities speaking out on things. Everybody else does that. It's a cliche, but it's more than that. It's become one of those reflexive pundit talking points that whenever any celebrity expresses an opinion about something at all, apparently everybody is supposed to rise up and condemn the celebrity for having an opinion and order them to never, ever, ever think about anything again. And for the love of God, never show any interest in politics. It's sort of the Dixie chickification of America, where as soon as a celebrity, as soon as Sean Penn, for example, says, well, I think the situation in Iraq is screwed up, suddenly you get Ann Coulter and a whole army of right-wing fembots is standing up and saying, well, just shut up and act and have no thoughts or opinions. They want Americans to be really outspoken and informed and political, and they want us to, you know, they keep saying that we don't care about things.
Right.
Unless you're a celebrity, in which case you're not supposed to care about anything at all.
Well, in the case of George Clooney, I think he has to be a humanitarian who just... happens to be a celebrity.
That's what, yeah, it's like you don't cede your right to have an opinion when you become famous.
Right. Actually, he spent 5 days in Darfur and came back with stories of the horrific situation there. So, I mean, I think that as a result of that, he's not just sitting back and putting his face on camera and, you know, trying to show for the benefit of his career, you know, that he cares about the people of Sudan. I think he really does care about the people of Sudan. And in fact, he said that his job at the United Nations yesterday was to bring the cameras in, and in the hopes that Elie Wiesel would get greater coverage as he pushes for the international community to intervene and prevent another genocide. And in fact, when the two of them stood out there and reporters were asking him questions, he kept trying to defer the questions to Wiesel. So I really get the sense that he really is concerned about these issues.
George Clooney seems like one of those guys that and I don't know whether they do or not, but the left really ought to embrace him because he does seem so likable and he does seem so genuine and sincere about all this stuff, and he doesn't seem like some people do. He doesn't have that the Jane Fonda, all of that baggage that comes along with that, right, and whatever. And you know, he seems like one. He doesn't have so many of the negative attachments to him that like a Susan Sarandon would have. Or
right,
a Tim
exactly.
Robbins or somebody.
And the
so.
Thing is, I don't think he would want us to be dwelling so much on him. He really wants people to dwell on the issue. And frankly, that's where I'm at on this.
Right.
Because it is become, you know, based on the reports that I'm seeing, you know, covering the United Nations, it is turning into a genocide there. And everybody sat back and allowed Rwanda to
sure,
occur. And the United
sure.
Nations was formed so that there wouldn't be another Holocaust. And yet they lack the willpower, I guess, to resolve these issues that seemingly tackling.
Yeah. No, I'm sorry. You know what? I'm sorry, Gary. Gary, we lost Scotty. If you just. Yeah, okay. Well, it looks like we lost Gary Baumgartner. All right. Well. All right, thank you.
Aww.
Well, there you go. That's Gary. It's 503-733-2970. 503. Have a good weekend, Gary. It's 503-733-2970. Oh, let me get some of these. Let me guess. So there's Gary Bunker talking about the George Clooney. Let me get a couple of these, and then we'll go back to Tim Riley here at the City Desk. Is this Lori?
Hello?
Hi, Lori. How you doing?
Hi, good. How are you?
I'm okay. Now, it says here on the screen that your name is Steakhouse Lori.
Yeah, I guess so. I'm the bartender at Bill's Steakhouse.
Oh, okay. All right. Now, this is... It's all kind of hazy. I'm having to piece this together like some sort of a late-night drinking bout or something.
Yeah.
But is it... So we had a guy, I think his name is Doug or something, a guy called yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And we play this soundbite of Ed McCarthy, CNN radio correspondent from Atlanta, laughing a lot.
Right.
And this guy called up, and he was like, you ought to augment that with my friend Lori because she's got this hilarious laugh or whatever. And it was really completely unprompted. So that he called with this information. And so his...
Nice.
His command was then, you got to get her on the phone and then say something hilarious. Make her laugh. So,
you can't laugh on command.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So now it's now the responsibility of somebody here in the audience to make you laugh.
Oh, good.
And who wants to make Lori laugh? Go ahead. Sarah?
I can't. I was just scared she was going to call to yell at me about breastfeeding.
No. Tim, say something funny.
An ex-wife was accused of setting fire to a man's home.
Yeah.
Okay, this really hasn't. No, this is a failed bit is what this is. Your friend has put you in an awkward position now.
I guess so, yeah.
Are you known for your, is your laugh known to other people? Do other people mention it to you?
Oh, yeah, all the time.
All right. So here's what we're going to have to do. I'm just going to have somebody stalk you
nice.
With some sort of recording device. And And at some point, if you do laugh in an amusing and memorable fashion, we'll have it captured forever.
Okay, great.
All right, thank you, Lori.
Thank you.
All right, there you go. That's Lori. That was genius. That was Radio Gold right there. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Napoleon Dynamite is about to become a daddy. John Heater has just learned he's about to become a papa for the first time. This, according to People magazine, his wife is Kirsten. She doesn't have a last name. Well, his wife's name is Kirsten. And he made a reference to good news during the press conference for his new film, School for Scoundrels.
Oh, is that me?
Is that who?
You paused as though there were.
No, I thought that you wanted to speak about it because I know he's one of your favorite actors.
Yes, because I can't get enough. No, the satisfying thing about that guy in that movie, to be fair, he seems like a cool guy. John Hader, or whatever his name is, he who played Napoleon, he himself seems like a pretty good guy. I saw him on Dinner for Five.
He's a fine Mormon American.
He is. I saw him on Dinner for Five. He seemed like a good sort, not terribly bright or interesting, and with a somewhat limited range, but seemed like a decent guy. It is satisfying, though, to see that everybody else associated with that film has just started a slow, long career implosion, as evidenced by the box office failure of Nacho Libre. So you see, sometimes miracles can come true. Let's talk to, this is Tim, he of the burgeoning radio career. Tim, how are you, sir?
Hey, Tim, God.
Your radio career's off to a fine start.
Tim.
You're Tim.
He's nervous.
I've been waiting for a while, and sorry.
And they'll teach you your own name at Mount Hood. Don't worry about it. They'll teach you.
I just want to let you know that Tim Savage emailed me back, last night.
Yes.
He, read my resume and said it looked good. And he's going to give it to the people in promotions, I guess, at KUFO.
Yes.
And that's about it.
And who knows? You may be setting up some sort of an inflatable thing or be packing up miles of duct tape within a week.
Yeah, and I want to also let you know that I've come up with a show name. It's called The Tim Price Project. Coming soon.
Yes. Okay.
So, I'm making a demo right now.
Thank you. Now, the question is, I don't mean to poke fun. We had many people who were expressed horror and outrage that you were considering this Mount Hood Community College thing for $22,000. Since that was a debt that was going to take hundreds of years to pay off on a typical radio salary. And so we've had a lot of people, somebody wanted us to do like a scared straight thing where we had you in and then just paraded in radio person after radio person to tell you all kinds of scare stories.
Or else we can just show you our paychecks.
Yeah, that's it too. Or else, we can just have you try to live on what we make for like a month. And so, but the question is, did you decide to go to the school or not?
Scotty's probably going to hate me for this. I did not go to the school.
Well done, sir.
I decided against it.
Well, okay. Well avoided. No, I'd say you've avoided a serious.
We're all containing our enthusiasm too. We're all very happy.
No,
that
it's
you
true. No, it's true. I don't wish to. No, because I don't want to be spiking the ball or anything. I don't want to be. Scotty's typing on the screen. Loser. I don't know. You know what? Here's the thing. I view it, Mount Hood Community College you know what it is? Here's what Mount Hood Community College is. Mount Hood Community College is like a really unpleasant, kooky baggage mix-up at the airport through which you meet the girl who becomes your wife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It is through Mount Hood Community College that we met Scotty J. So you know what? So we'll always love Mount Hood Community College a little bit for that. I do strongly believe, all things being equal, you are best served by not putting down $22,000, which is more than my car cost, by the way, to go to this school to effectively learn how to turn on a microphone. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, hold on. For the love of God, just one second.
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to death, squad!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Scotty J is the man. He typed on the screen, let me on to defend all of this, Scotty.
Sorry to interrupt, Tim.
Hey, that's okay.
Oh, he can't hear Tim, can he?
No, they can hear each other.
Oh, no, we can. I just lent Scotty my microphone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Since he doesn't have his own at the moment.
I mean, you can't hear Tim. You can't hear Tim the...
Tim of the Tim Project.
All right, there you go. Use the headphones. All right. We can only afford one pair of headphones. That's the glory of radio.
Yeah.
All right. Yes,
okay,
Scotty.
I just felt like I needed to say something. It's not Mount Hood in general, but any college... Number one, I wouldn't be here talking to you today had it not been for the college.
That's a fair point.
I just want to say a couple of quick things, and that is, number one...
I want to thank God.
No, if I was to try out over, say, you know, some of the other radio stations in town. I send my resume over there. There's a stack of like 15, 20 high. And, for instance, if I would have sent you my resume, you would have been like, oh, Scotty, what's this?
I would have ignored it.
Yeah, you would have. And it'd be in a pile.
Especially because your name was misspelled on the front.
Exactly. And so my point is this.
Scotty.
The college.
If you put smiley stickers on it, it might get his attention.
Yeah, if you put it...
Maybe a little fuzzy picture of pizza.
If you put it on construction paper, and then make sure to have an unlabeled air check, and drop it off on
at 4:57 on a Friday afternoon.
And by the way, make sure that the show is terrible.
Yeah, and if the resume paper was pink, yeah, you might have looked at it. But anyways, all I'm saying is a lot of those resumes get chucked in the garbage.
Yeah, but dude... paying $22,000. Here's the one thing I will say about Mount Hood Community College and their radio program. And again, I don't mean to bust on them, because we know the guy Paul out there, and he's, you know, we know some people who went there. I will acknowledge this, since this has now just become the Tim Scare segment. Since we're talking to this kid Tim who's thinking about going to school.
I can't stop looking at Scotty's chest hair. I'm sorry.
It is blinding.
It
you
is.
Have some duct tape.
You can go to RickEmerson.com and. Go to rickemerson.com and see a picture of it.
He's the new dog, the bounty hunter.
Yes, exactly. Here's the thing, is that I will acknowledge that going to this radio program, Scotty, it got your foot in the door. In other words, by dint of going to Mount Hood Community College, you did have a contact with Susan Reynolds in marketing, who then put you in touch with our show. I will say that. But at the same time, you've got to ask yourself, is that worth $22,000? Like, if I came to you and I said, look, I'll get somebody at the CBS marketing department to return your phone call. It'll cost you $22,000. You'd kick me in the junk and walk away. That's basically what you paid for. I don't mean to make you feel bad about it, but I'm saying that's really what you paid for.
Not true.
What else?
No, they taught me a lot about audio. They taught me a whole bunch of different people from radio stations, just like yourself. They go in and they talk to you. They tell you all kinds of things.
Yeah,
they tell you what to expect in the industry. You learn about the history of radio. You can go off in all different directions. You can be technical. You can be audio. You can learn how to use boards. They have a real running radio station there that's on the air. You get experience that way. You can't just put your resume out into the world and say, oh, hey, I'm Scotty J. I want to join the Rick Emerson show. It'll get thrown in the garbage.
So are you commending, like, radio college
in general?
Or just college?
In general.
Yeah, because college offers colleges offer the exact same thing. They have their own radio stations. They have their own programs.
And I would say this. I would agree with you that if you just go to a radio station, you're like some kid walking through the mall with a fistful of applications on a Saturday. If you just drop off an air check at a radio station or a cover sheet, yeah, they're probably going to ignore it. But you know what? And this is the thing, and I'll say this to people, because Tim, Sarah, you all know this, and Tim especially, you know, you've been in radio for a long time, you know this, that the world is full of people, and I know this sounds condescending, and I apologize. I don't mean for it to sound condescending. But the world is full of people who think they ought to be on the radio. The world is full of people who think that they're fascinating, and they think that they're... And I'm not trying to say that we're, like, the gold standard. I mean, I'm a tool. But I'm just saying, you know, we kind of do what we do, and we're sort of good at it and whatever, you know, in our tiny, stupid little niche. But the world is full of people, and you meet these people in radio all the time. And they're always like, either they ought to be in the radio... Or, and it's always like this, my friends tell me I'm hilarious, so they always think, I always get told that I ought to have a radio show.
I met one of those guys the other night when he's just like, oh, so what are you doing? I'm like, oh, I work in radio. And he's like, oh, you wish you wouldn't have met me. And I'm like, why? He's like, oh, my friends tell me I'm hilarious. And he's like, you're in trouble now. I'm like, oh, God.
Okay. That's how you know
what
it's not
I do?
Funny.
They're the ones you should encourage to go to college, because once they get into the college and they realize, oh, crap, maybe I just want to do sales.
But I'm saying the world is full, and I get emails all the time, and there's not just me, every radio guy, especially if there's the words program and director after your name. You hear from people constantly who think that they've got stuff to say. They think they're funny. They think they're entertaining. Now, so that is why radio guys get into the habit of just shredding 98% of the resumes that come their way. And I'll tell you this right now. Almost 100% of the air check tapes you drop off, at least in the olden days when we used cassettes, are immediately erased and used to put spec spots on. That's what they're used for. Now, so when you say that if you just put your radio resume in a pile, it's going to get thrown out, that's true. But you know who that weeds out? The only people that weeds out are the people who really shouldn't be in radio anyway, because I hate to use dreaded cliches like this, because they're not, well, they don't want it enough. They're not trying. Can I just tell you a brief story?
Sure.
And Tim probably has these stories too. I And this is not, again, it's not about me. It's not about, like, I learned at the school of hard knocks. I'm just saying I really wanted to be in the radio because I'm a loser and have no other skills. And it's really all I ever wanted to do. And so it wasn't like it wasn't just enough to drop off an air check. I mean, Tim has probably done this too, where you're dropping off an air check like every day and you're coming back and you're knocking on the door. And I know I'm inviting more people to nag me by saying this, but it's, you can't let people forget about you. It's like, just like Tim here, this the kid we're talking to, he sent me an email and I got lost and I didn't respond to it. Sent me another one. I set it aside, forgot to answer it. Sent me another one. I emailed like, yeah, I'll talk to you one of these days. Forget. He finally figured out how to get to you. I mean, he persisted. You know, he really, really persisted. Here's a brief story, and this is not an original Rick Emerson idea. I stole this from Bruce Williams, talk show host extraordinaire, who welcomed me to his world. Bruce Williams gave me this idea, and I did this where there's a station in California, a legendary station, called KNAC. And KNAC was a legendary hard rock station up until, I think, 1998. They finally went off the air, and I think they're back on the Internet. But they were if you work in radio, you know the call letters, KNAC. They were, I mean, huge, so huge, massive, especially in the rock and roll community. They're world famous. And every rock star got photographed at some point wearing a shirt that said KNAC Pure Rock. I mean, they were legends. And when I wanted a job there. And I was desperately trying to get a job at KNAC back when I was still a music jock. And it's same thing, air checks, tapes, letters, no reply. And you know what I finally did? Bless you. And you know what I finally did is I finally sent them. And again, it's on a radio salary. It's a tiny little, they're making no money. You know, is my paychecks are like $4. But I had I don't know how much a full sheet cake is. It's 40 inches by whatever, but it's a full sheet cake. I had my resume written on a sheet cake and then sent to them. And so I got on the phone with like a bakery in L.A. And I'm like, I need you to send the cake with the following writing, the whatever. And I had my resume, my printed resume, exactly written on a cake in icing and sent to this guy, Brian Schock, who was the program director at the time. Now, I didn't get the job. He didn't hire me because there was an opening. He did not hire me. I'll tell you that right now. But you know what he did is he called me back personally. And he said, hey, this is Brian Schock at KNAC. I got your cake. And I'm like, thank you. And he goes, look, you're not right for the station. You're a couple years away from being ready. Here's some things you could work on that'll really help you the next time you look for a gig like this. And he gave me like three things. And you know what? That's what it takes. You got to, with anything, you got to just be able to persist. And I hate to say stuff like this, but think outside the box and do all this stuff. It's not, you know, whatever. So that's my only point.
I agree with that. You do have to think outside the box, and you do have to be persistent and all that good stuff. However, all right, so you don't go to college, and you are persistent. Number one, you know as well as I do that there aren't as many jobs out there anymore.
Yeah, but going to Mount Hood Community College and getting his degree, what if he does this and he doesn't get a job? Then he's got like 20 grand in the hole for a degree that is worthless.
It is not worthless.
What can you do with this?
But you know what? He could go to regular college and then take some classes in radio.
That's the same with Mount Hood, for instance. And I'm not defending them, and it's not about Mount Hood. It's about getting some background, some education, because I personally couldn't just walk into the Rick Emerson show. I had no experience whatsoever. I could say, yeah, I was a mobile DJ for 20-odd years or whatever, but you're going to be like, yeah, whatever. First of all, Tim doesn't know how to run any of this equipment or the boards or anything. He hasn't done a mobile DJ business. You can get that experience in one term at the college. Plus, they make you do math and English and writing and all this other stuff.
I'm not telling him not to go to college. I'm not telling him not to go to college. I'm telling him not to take broadcasting. That's what I'm telling. There's a difference. And Sarah and I have talked about this. College was not for me. But I would never tell him not to take college. I would tell him not to take broadcasting. And you know what? In one term, he can learn to use that equipment. You can learn to run everything you need to do to run this radio station in one weekend.
If you get the shot.
If you're just dropped in, told to do it.
Yeah, because, Scotty, I didn't take a single radio class, and I came here not knowing anything. I'd never even seen a board, you know? And if you come in and you get the experience even at a radio station for free.
That's the other thing. There has to be an opening, and if you're willing to move, I mean, you know, Kennewick, for instance, might have had an opening, or Hillsborough might have something going on, or whatever.
Well, it's not even Hillsborough. They might say, hey, how do you feel about doing midnight to six in Omaha? And it's like, maybe, you know what, Tim, and maybe you are willing to pick up your life and move to Omaha at the drop of a hat for, you know, the chance to work at a low-paying, demeaning job. Maybe you're not. But I think if you're not willing to do that, then it's, you know, then you're screwed from the beginning.
So. Anyways, I just felt the need to say, hey,
it's,
you know.
Fine. No, and again, you know what it is? It's a path that worked well for you because it brought you to the glory of the Rick Emerson show where you get to work for no money. But, you know, I'm just saying, I could not in good conscience tell somebody that, because he, you know, has already figured out the best way to do it. It is, I will say this, radio, like anything else, is who you know. It is who you know, and it's contacts, and it's networking. And I think if you're persistent, you can make those happen. And he's picking exactly the right way to do it, which is to take... Did you say you talked to promotions?
Yeah, no, I just talked to Tim Savage.
To Tim about promotions? Okay,
yeah.
Promotions, which is not on air. Promotions are those the people in the staff shirts that you see setting up a tent somewhere, like a, you know, like an auto lot on a weekend.
Yeah.
Which is fine, and we poke fun at that, but as I went through that, a lot of people have done that.
You get exposure that way.
You know, and more importantly, you got to take any job they offer you doing anything, even if it's at a format you hate, if it's playing a type of music you detest, working with people who are a-holes, working for, I mean, Tim and I have told stories about the working for some coked-out boss.
Guy brings a gun to work and threatens everybody.
Yes. That's
when the GM just shuts the door and hopes he gets it over with quickly.
Wait, now, has that happened to you?
Yeah.
I thought I was the only one I've told this story about. I had a producer who threatened me with a gun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
radio. All right.
And eventually he went home to the southern state he came from and is working at a 1,000-watt daytimer in some city of...
Fantastic. So, Tim, we got a break. We're desperately behind here. Let me know how it goes. Drop me an email. Let me know who you talk to, and we'll keep in touch. I want to know how your radio career moves on, young Pat.
Well, thanks,
yes.
Thanks for your guys' help and everything. So.
I'm sorry?
Thanks for your help and everything.
No, my help, which consisted of telling you not to do it.
And Scotty J, thanks for the help,
too. All right, there you go. Thank you, sir.
All right, thanks.
Okay, there's Tim. All right. It's 503-733-2970. It's always nice we can crush a dream. It's Rick at rickemerson.com. Oh, too late. Bruce Agler, former Godlike program director. Well, we'll get his comments when we come back.
We crush a dream.
That'll be our new tagline. Yeah. Well, we come back. Let's do one more news segment. We come back since we got so off track there. We'll talk about this MySpace girl later on. Scott Daly, Tom Likas. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. Don't go anywhere.